I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today. In this podcast, we'll explore ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome to this episode of Education Conversations, Relationships, Resources, and Resiliency. I'm really delighted today to have a special guest with us, Josiah Straw. His story is, to me, really fascinating and something that I want him to share a little bit of light to you all. But the reason I wanted him to be a part of this podcast today is twofold. You know, one is we really wanted to hear his story of resiliency because so much of our work is tied into how we get kids ready for life. And when they're presented with barriers, how do they overcome it? And so it's just really interesting to hear his personal story. And secondly, I think he could really be helpful for people who want to be generous supporters in our community, helping kids who are overcomers like Josiah, because he was a scholarship recipient to really help further some of his studies. And it was just interesting to hear his perspective of how being a recipient kind of on the student side, what the pros and cons and the pitfalls and what the blessings may have been in that journey. And so, Josiah, I'm super excited to welcome you to Education Conversations.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And I know you came in from Seattle, Washington. So why don't we start where you are now? What is your current job? And can you just give a little insight of what you're currently doing right now?
That's right. So my fiance and I live together out in Seattle. We recently relocated there after spending 2 years in Austin, Texas. We both happen to work in financial services, specifically in the private equity context. So I work for a small holding company, which is a niche end of the private equity market. We buy and build companies on a permanent basis. So unlike a traditional private equity firm, we'll enter a position and buy a business with the intent to hold it forever. And there's all kinds of reasons why that's an attractive, interesting, different business model that we're really excited about. I could also go further back in time and talk about experiences leading up to this.
Yeah,
if that would be helpful.
I think that'd be great because it's great to know what you're doing now. And then why don't you take us back to when you were 14 years old and coming into the Sarasota County community?
Sure. Well, if we rewind the clock back to when I was 14, after having grown up here a number of years, there's a bit of an interesting break in my history along the way where I moved with my family to Sarasota, and then the 2008 financial crisis rolled around, kind of broke up my family and forced some of us to relocate back to Canada. I was so devastated about getting pulled out of the Sarasota community because I had my eye on attending the Sarasota Military Academy. And there was this really wonderful, interesting program that I was so desperate to participate in. And it was this effectively a private pilot's licensing program where there was a club at the school. You could go register and be a part of that program. And over the course of your 4 years, you could learn how to fly a plane. If you stuck with it, you could get your private pilot's license at the same time that you got your high school diploma. I was really excited about coming to the Sarasota Military Academy. When I was 14, I landed in Sarasota to attend SMA, but my life quickly unraveled in that I didn't really have a permanent place to live. I was spending my time living with friends that I had gotten to know up until leaving and really didn't have a lot of guidance or a lot of perspective on how I was going to make it 4 years between starting at SMA as a freshman at 14 to graduating, and then ideally, hopefully, going to college beyond that. Now, the community here in Sarasota really sprung up around me in a really interesting way. I mean, I've lost track of the number of people who would stop me in a hallway, recognize the name on my name tag that I was wearing on my shirt, people I've never met before, and say, hey, do you need a ride? Do you need help getting to where you're trying to go? Is there anything I can do to help you? Which at the time felt a little weird, but in retrospect is a really profound, incredible demonstration of support from the Sarasota community. And that's realistically the only way I made it all the way to graduation and then to school.
So let's stop right there for a minute. So as you you demonstrated some of the resiliency traits that we talk about, you've got grit, you've got determination, you really had a focus on wanting to come to Sarasota Military Academy, which, by the way, is a public charter school here in Sarasota County. Yet when you came, unstable housing.
That's
and
right.
So then you mentioned that there were people that kind of entered into your life. And so can you maybe highlight one scenario of a way in which you benefited from that generosity?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting how the relationships you make when you're younger can stick with you throughout your life. I sat down next to a student who was also new to Sarasota, also new to the school, and we became fast friends. And within weeks of knowing each other, came up with the idea that, hey, after school, maybe I could come with you and we could study and prepare for this next test together. And he happened to be the stepson of a woman here in Sarasota who, I'm happy to say the name, Linda Jellison, has just been, you know, an incredible mentor and friend and just unbelievable resource to me over the course of the last 15 years of my life. And she helped really just add some stability to an otherwise totally unstable lifestyle, you know, where I was spending my time trying to figure out which house to go to next. And there's just so many people, I've lost track of the list of people who opened their door to me along the way. She stands out as somebody who's just been a shining light and a total safe harbor in an otherwise really terrifying storm at that point in my life.
I think that's such a great way that you described that, as a safe harbor in a terrifying storm, because to know that you had that instability in your life and yet you had that relationship that really fostered and gave you safety and promise. Because so take us now to the next piece of the journey. You now have graduated from Sarasota Military Academy and you are aspiring to do what?
Well, it's interesting. I probably need to take one step back, because if you looked at the Sarasota Military Academy at the time I was a student, it was staffed by people who had former military experience. It was staffed by some of the best teachers in the community. That's my opinion. I'm sure it's shared by many. And a lot of them looked at my situation and they said, all right, Josiah, if we're going to call a spade, you might have the best possible chance if you join the armed services. Mm. And that was an interesting perspective to me. It wasn't something I was considering seriously until somebody had brought it to my attention that that is something I should actually consider. And it made a lot of sense at the time. It was an opportunity where I could get a education paid for in exchange for military service. It was an opportunity where I would have more stability in my life, a guaranteed place to live, a guaranteed 3 meals a day, a guaranteed job and an income after I graduated from college, or perhaps going to work in the military before going to college. And so there was a number of people in and around the Sarasota Military Academy that took an interest in my going down that path and helped me navigate different opportunities therein. So enlisting directly out of high school, or going and participating in an ROTC program, or ideally making it into one of the military service academies, namely West Point or Annapolis or the Air Force Academy, and entering into the next chapter of my life that way, which would have been an incredible outcome. And it was something I pursued for a brief period very seriously for all the reasons that I just described. However, I also had built a relationship with a student who was, call it 2-3 years ahead of me, from the Sarasota community, went to a different school in the same district. He ended up going to NYU on a scholarship. He's obviously, I mean, he's a brilliant student. We're still in touch today and we've become close friends, but he came back to Sarasota on a school break while I was working and he happened to cross paths with me. I'm still very grateful for him taking this action because he didn't need to do it at the time, but he pulls me aside effectively, says, hey, it's nice to see you. What are you doing? Where are you going to school? And I said, you know what, I've had a number of conversations about going to the military academy. He said, that's great. Have you applied to my school? And he had ended up going to NYU. I said, I have no idea what that school is. Because at the time, I was a student who had no resources to speak of. If I were to go to school, it would be entirely based off of financial aid or debt or the combination of the two. And so NYU being a school that is, I mean, again, it's just numbers. It's one of the most expensive private schools you can attend in this country. It was not on my radar. But he encouraged me to apply. And in fact, he helped me apply and helped guide me through that process. And remarkably, I ended up not only getting admitted to the university at the Stern School of Business, but weeks after I received my offer of admissions, I received a full tuition scholarship to go, which at the time, and frankly, it still is, a life-changing sum of money. And it was a hard amount, or a difficult amount rather, for me to even wrap my mind around at the time. It was more money than I had ever seen. But it also came with this challenge of, you know, full tuition is not full ride. You still have to figure out a way to cover your living expenses, and New York is a very expensive place to live. And so it was a really challenging decision point for me because I didn't know very much, but I knew that if I went left and somehow made it into one of the military academies, I wouldn't have to pay a dime to go to school. That would be guaranteed. If I went right and I went to NYU, the only thing I knew for sure is that I would end up taking on thousands of dollars of debt. And again, at the time, I was earning basically minimum wage washing dishes at Panera. It's not something I felt comfortable doing by any stretch. And so it was a really difficult decision point for me. I'm very glad that I ultimately did decide to pursue NYU and I took that chance because it's led to just a total different outcome in my life. I met my fiance there when I went to New York and then studied at NYU, and it's given me my career today.
Right. And so when you think about, as you were looking at your acceptance letter, full tuition ride, but knowing you still had the gap, then you searched for scholarships and you were looking for scholarships here in the local community. And how did that benefit you in your first year as a freshman student?
It was the only reason I could go to school is because I had, in addition to the scholarship that I was given for NYU by the university, I went out and I knocked on every possible door I could find in Sarasota and beyond for scholarship funds. The reason being, what I had found out, and I can't even remember how I found out at this point, somebody told me or I had done the research, but any dollar above the cost of attendance effectively gets reimbursed to a checking account, which a light went off for me. That was great because I could use that to live. I could use that to pay for food. I could use it to pay for clothing. I could use it to pay for travel if I needed to. And so it was extremely important for me to be able to make sure I had a surplus above the cost of attendance. And so I went out and, like I said, I knocked on every door that you could find. If it had the word scholarship in it, I was applying. I applied for scholarships that I wasn't even necessarily eligible for, strictly speaking to the word and the description of the scholarship. But that didn't stop me because I just knew if I had a chance, maybe I could convince somebody to modify the scholarship and make me eligible, or I don't know, convince them to point me in a direction where I could be eligible for a different scholarship. And so the various foundations in and around the Sarasota County have these really wonderful programs where they start marketing their scholarship programs well in advance of the end of the school year. And so I started applying to those. And then I started reaching out to private businesses and asking them if they had a scholarship program, because maybe they would be interested in starting one. And so I just got very creative because it was a total necessity that if I was actually going to do this, I needed to have financial resources. Now, the problem is some of the scholarships that I got from the local community sources were multi-year in nature, but most of them were not. Most of them were a single year scholarship. Sometimes they were just a single, you know, a check, here's $1,000. And that's great. And I was very grateful to have those. The problem with that is once you begin your actual studies at NYU, it's a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job for me. I was trying to compete in an academic arena I had never stepped foot in before, and it was at a totally different level than what I was used to. I was studying all the time and it felt like I was barely keeping up. I say all that because it's not like I would have time to apply for scholarships while I'm in school if there were even scholarships that I would be eligible to apply for as a full-time student.
Right.
Because that's not the intent of a scholarship. It's usually for the high school students trying to get into college.
And when you were there, many of those scholarships, particularly the ones that were an annual, 1 year only, what did you find yourself in year two? What was the situation, or maybe even year three, as you're kind of going through that journey?
As you might expect where this is going, a one-year scholarship is wonderful, but it doesn't help me in year two, and it doesn't help me in year three, and it certainly doesn't help me in my last year of college trying to make it to the finish line. And so I was watching that reimbursement number I described earlier get smaller and smaller every semester. And what that should translate to in your ears, if you're listening to this, is the amount of money I had to live off of kept shrinking every single time that I started classes again. And very quickly, I realized I didn't actually have enough money to stay in New York another semester to continue my studies. And that was a real problem for me because I had just turned down any other option, took on a guaranteed massive number of debt or a massive amount of debt at that age. And now I risked not even making it to the finish line. And so I did everything I possibly could. I petitioned for an increase in the amount of debt that I could take on as a student, which was itself its own challenge because you need cosigners for loans and you need people who have credit to be able to support taking on more debt. So that was a challenge. And then when push came to shove and I realized I wasn't getting out of that problem, I basically looked around at NYU and I said, there must be something here that I could do. Fortunately, New York University is a global university in its construct and they have operated campuses around the world. One of those campuses happens to be located in the Czech Republic, in Prague, which was, from a cost of living perspective, a far more attractive place to be studying than New York. And so I literally studied abroad because it was the only viable path for me to take my next step with the amount of financial aid that I had at the time. If you roll that forward another year, the math didn't change. It got worse. And I still couldn't figure out a way to come back to New York for another semester. So I looked overseas and I did a exchange program with the University of Melbourne because at the time, the foreign exchange rate was just favorable enough where I figured I could make it maybe 16 weeks or 20 weeks or whatever the semester timeframe was if I go to Australia. And so I went to Australia. But the problem with that was there was no longer anywhere else for me to go. And so I had to come back to New York, which means I had to figure out a way to get a job because I needed to make money if I were to make it to the end of this four-year period, graduate with my degree, and then start working full-time.
Right. Well, how would you, what advice would you give to people who are interested in supporting students like you? Knowing that you went on that journey, what would have been helpful for you to have received?
Look, even if it was the same scholarship, but if it was structured to be over 4 years, that would have helped my prior self because, frankly, young people aren't great with managing money, and I'm not going to claim I was any better than the average young person. And so if I just knew that there was some amount of money that was coming this semester, some amount of money that was coming the next semester, I would be able to plan around that. The issue is if it all came in at once, it's very easy to spend that extra $50 here and there and deplete that small pool of resources much faster than I otherwise would if it was structured to come over 4 years. Now, ideally, more people get behind structured four-year scholarships and they fund those to a larger dollar amount. Because if you look at a student's comprehensive profile of their financial aid, even if you had a four-year scholarship, but it doesn't move the needle enough for them to comfortably stay the course over 4 years, I mean, what a waste of investment that is. Even if you draw it out to 3 years, who cares if I spent 3 years studying on your scholarship dollar if I can't make it to graduation? That last 25% matters.
Right. Right. So that those last mile scholarships and then also the renewable scholarships over 4 years is what I'm hearing you say are the ones that really give you the peace of mind of knowing your investment and you can get you to the end zone. Is that a good
way to... That's exactly
yeah.
how I would describe
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so just switching gears, since we know we don't have too much more time together, you have demonstrated extraordinary resiliency skills. Extraordinary. And I don't know how you would describe yourself, but when we're teaching kids, particularly in today's world where there's a lot of kids that are struggling and wandering and, you know, not with a plan or understanding of purpose in their life and may have barriers that are just really hard for them to overcome. We are trying to demonstrate, you know, what it is to have empathy, what it is to demonstrate grit, how to have perseverance and determination and just a whole host of different things. What are the things that come to mind for you that you feel like were the strengths that you pulled on? Because it certainly is remarkable, your journey.
Well, I would start by commenting that I'm only here today because there is an incredible list of people who went out of their way an insane number of times to make sure that I was able to take the next step ahead and in front of me. And yes, it was hard, but it would be totally ridiculous for me to claim that I got here by myself. That said, the one thing that I can claim is that I got very good at asking for help when I was younger. And it's an awkward thing to do. And there's a lot of shame built into asking people for help, especially when you have to do it many, many times. And I basically came to terms with the fact that if I don't start asking people for help, then that becomes my fault because I'm the only one who's going to do it. It's unrealistic for me to expect people to actually step out of their way to help me unless I give them a reason to do so. And so I got good at asking for help and I got past the shame and embarrassment of doing it. And I got good at talking to people who are 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than I was. And I did that by reading the news every day and figuring out what they were talking about. So whenever I went over to somebody's house, for example, I would listen into the conversation with their parents and their parents' friends. I said, oh, I was just reading about that on, I think at the time, Yahoo News or something in the morning. And I was actually able to have more seemingly natural conversations with those groups of people who took an interest in me because that was just an odd experience, I imagine, for them. And it gave me an opportunity to say, yeah, well, here's who I am, and here's what I'm struggling with today and tomorrow and the next week, and would love if you have any ideas on how I can address these couple of items I'm trying to solve for in the near term.
That's actually a really good message to send to students, because what you're saying is it's okay to be vulnerable. Put yourself out there. There is no shame in kind of expressing that you have a need, but you also developed like lasting relationships that really have been enduring for years now.
These people I'm describing, I consider my closest friends, and they're many, many years older than I am, but they're some of the most important special people in my life.
That's wonderful. So I would really encourage any student that's out there, knowing that relationships really do make a difference, that it's important to access those relationships. And if you are in need of a mentor or need guidance in helping to navigate the scholarship process or anything post-secondary, I would just say that the Education Foundation does now have a host of resources available on our website at www.edfoundationsrq.org. And it's really just enlightening, Josiah, to hear your story and your journey. And I'm just incredibly inspired by your determination to have a different outcome. Did you ever, just one final question, did you ever doubt that this wouldn't be? Like we're sitting here today, is it beyond what you imagined?
Yeah, I could not have dreamed 15 years ago when I set foot in the campus at Sarasota Military Academy that I would be here today having this conversation with you, doing the work that I'm doing, having the lived experiences that I've had, and meeting the people I've gotten to know. A, dream come true. B, totally beyond my imagination. I don't know if I can answer your question totally truthfully, because I think the answer is just I was so focused on what was immediately ahead of me that I didn't have the opportunity to pick my head up and think, what happens next year? What happens the year after that? It was, what happens this week? What happens next week?
And now that you're in a totally different situation, you are now financially secure. You are college educated. You are well established in your emerging career. That's just sounds like it's just continuing to be on an upward trajectory again. What are you dreaming of 5 years from now? What's on the horizon for Josiah Straw?
There are a lot of things I care about within education and paying it forward, because I recognize that I am totally the product of programs like yours, the Education Foundation, and people who go out of their way to help younger people. And so one thing I would love to do more frequently is find opportunities to pay it forward and help younger people. I'm doing some programs like that with students here in Sarasota, students at the Florida State University. So that's something I care about. Professionally, of course, there are a number of items I'd like to accomplish over the next couple of years, but I'm just excited to finally be able to think longer term and actually make real investments of real capital, but also social capital. I want to be able to, in 5-10 years time, know that I found somebody who was in a similar position that I was in 15 years ago and see them take a similar path that I did, ideally with more guidance and, you know, have a similar unbelievable outcome, because I truly find it to be unbelievable that I'm here today with you.
Wow. Well, likewise, because you've had an impressive journey, and I just really applaud you for your continued perseverance and what you're doing now, pivoting and paying forward. Many kids are going to benefit from your generosity. So thank you for continuing that wonderful, wonderful cycle. So listeners, if you want to, again, learn more about the Education Foundation, you can check us out at our website. I mentioned that earlier. It's, I guess everybody knows the www, but I don't know why I keep saying that, edfoundationsrq.org. And we definitely hope that you guys look for our resources and for donors and supporters of students like Josiah, that you would get involved in our work. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.